The Human Rights Commission is calling on the government to comprehensively assess its new COVID-19 protection framework in terms of human rights and te tiriti, or waitangi. The commission is releasing a series of briefings on the human rights and te tiriti implications of the new protection framework to aid the public and policy makers. Our Chief Human Rights Commissioner with the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, Paul Hunt, joins us now on Pacific Days for more. Good afternoon. Thank you for your time today, Paul.
Hello, Brian. Thanks for inviting me.
Paul, firstly, the COVID-19 response vaccinations legislation bill was passed under urgency within a 24-hour period by the government this week. Your thoughts, your initial thoughts?
Yeah, we were disappointed about this. We were disappointed. This is a really important piece of legislation, and pushing it through by urgency, it does diminish parliamentary scrutiny of the draft legislation. It does diminish public engagement in the parliamentary process. And Brian, as you know, usually there's a debate of the whole House, and then the legislation goes into a committee, and the committee looks in detail at the legislation, and there's a possibility of public engagement with the committee. That's the usual process. But the bill this time, or it's already an act, it wasn't subjected to that detailed examination, and there wasn't the opportunity of getting a lot of evidence from the public. So in our view, the parliamentary scrutiny was diminished, and the public engagement was lessened, and that's a real pity for democracy. I mean, Brian, we have to press on, and what we're suggesting is that some conditions should be applied to this urgency through Parliament.
Now, I'm not sure whether you've had an opportunity to have a read through, but in regards to any implementation of conditions that were highlighted in the Commission's briefings by the government, any notable ones?
Yeah, well, look, I got the bill Wednesday afternoon. I read it overnight. The next day it went through Parliament. I haven't seen the final act. Look, what we're saying, and it's a technical piece of legislation. I read the bill, but I haven't read the final act because I haven't received it yet. So Brian, but what we're saying in terms of getting it through Parliament urgently, the three conditions. One is that after the event, and that's not satisfactory, but after the event, there should be a parliamentary committee process to carefully look at the act and to scrutinize it. Now, it would be better if that were before, but if it can't be before, then it needs to be urgently afterwards. So that's one condition. So after the event, committee scrutiny, that's one. Secondly, the government must publicly commit itself to taking that scrutiny seriously. So if that scrutiny, Brian, if it exposes some mistakes, some errors, some slips, then there mustn't be any brushing it under the carpet. The government just must say, look, there's a mistake there. We're going to correct it. That's the second point. The third condition, and in a way, Brian, frankly, for me, although I'm a lawyer, right? Frankly, for me, the third condition is the most important one. The third condition is that the important thing, Brian, is the implementation. When it comes to implementation of this emergency legislation, the implementation must be consistent with all human rights of everybody and, of course, te tiriti o waitangi. And the Human Rights Commission and the public at large must hold the government accountable for the way it implements this traffic light system.
It has been passed. Okay, mute point now, Paul. But with regards to the public being able to have a say with regards to, having changes implemented and, within a certain time frame, and of course, from your perspective as a lawyer, can you talk us through that sort of process? How does it work? And is it that much more harder now that the bill has been passed?
Look, it would have been easier if there were particular references to particular human rights in the legislation. But what we have to make the best of it now as best we can. And I think that the way forward is that when it comes, Brian, to implementation, what we have to insist upon is the government firstly, listens to communities. Secondly, the government must empower communities. Thirdly, Brian, we must have front and center key values that are shaping the implementation. Values including respect and well-being and belonging and non-discrimination and freedom and so forth. And then, Brian, what's got to happen is we've got to do what we did successfully last year with the alert level system. Now, what the country did, individuals, communities, the people of New Zealand deserve great credit, Brian, last year for making the alert level system work. And we were one of the best countries throughout the world for the alert level system. And that was a success. Now we've got this new system. It's not elimination, it's suppression. So we've got this new traffic light system. So Brian, what we've got to do is make this system, this new system work. And in order to do that, rights have got to be center. Responsibilities, Brian, have to be center. The government has responsibilities, and frankly, Brian, so do all of us have responsibilities. And we also have to build good, constructive, respectful relationships within communities and between communities. And then, Brian, then we're in a position to do something really tricky, and that is to strike equitable balances between competing human rights. So we've got the right to life, we've got the right to healthcare, we've got the right to health protection, really, really important. And we've also got the right to work. We've got the right to meet outside in public spaces. We've got the right to travel. So long as we get the values right, so long as we listen to communities, so long as we empower communities, we can get those equitable, fair balances between different competing rights.
This is not an action the Commission has undertaken lightly, Paul, because, you know, you have an overview, or if you're able to share with us an overview, the 11 general conditions that were outlined in your briefings, and of course with the specific focus given to vaccination passes. Can you talk us through those, please?
Sure, Brian. Look, first of all, we have to have in mind some general human rights conditions and then some specific conditions in relation to vax certificates. And look, there are a whole raft of them. I'm just going to give you a couple of illustrations. So the general conditions, first of all, before coming, if I may, to your question, Brian, about the vax certificates, the general conditions, look, any restrictions imposed by the government must be proportionate. They mustn't be over the top. They've got to be proportionate to the risk to public health. Another condition is all restrictions must be in place no longer than is strictly necessary. So if or when COVID disappears, because it will disappear at some point, COVID will disappear at some point, then the restrictions have to disappear when COVID disappears. So it's got to be proportionate. It's got to be no longer than strictly necessary. There has to be proper investment towards increasing vaccination rates and the health systems for Pacific people, for Māori, for others who are suffering the inequities. Look, there are others, but there are those general conditions. Now, when it comes to the specific conditions in relation to vaccination rates, which was your question, there must be some exemptions allowed, Brian. There must be some exemptions for those who are unable to be vaccinated, possibly because they've got a disability or because they've got an underlying medical condition. So one specific condition must be that there are exemptions. Another really important, from our point of view, from a human rights point of view, Brian, another really important condition is that the certificates, the vaccination certificates, must be available in paper. They must be digitally available. They must be accessible in all forms, because some people don't have smartphones, Brian, and some people don't have fancy technology. So it's really important that the certificates are available in different forms. And look, and I'll just mention one other condition. That, in relation to the vaccination certificates, there has to be a sunset clause on them. What I mean is they mustn't be set there in stone in perpetuity forever. You know, the vaccination certificate scheme should have within it a time when it comes to an end. Otherwise, there's a risk it's going to roll on and on. So there are general conditions, human rights conditions, which apply, and then there are some specific ones in relation to vaccination certificates.
Now, Paul, with regards to the conditions and the briefings, all the information, documentation, Have you had any response from someone in government with regards to the concerns that were proposed prior to or since the bill has been passed?
Prior, yes, Brian, not post. So prior, there have been discussions with government, there have been letters to government, there have been meetings with government, including in the Department of Prime Minister and Cabinet. So yes, there's been a dialogue amongst some of my colleagues and government. So this isn't coming to them out of the blue. That's before the legislation. Now, to the best of my, I haven't spoken to government since yesterday. Now, I don't know if some of my colleagues have, but yes, there have been discussions. You know, we haven't been hoarding this up. We've been talking about these issues in relation to the alert level system, and now more recently in relation to the traffic light system. We've been talking to the government extensively, Brian.
Paul, can I ask, with regards to your initial reading, and if we're looking through the lens of human rights and Te Tiriti, or Waitangi in particular, from your initial reading, of the bill, concerns, and which of those really stand out or are real big red flags for you?
Well, the big red flag is that, look, there's this huge change that has taken place. So with the alert level system, if I could try and put it as succinctly as I can, with the alert level system, that was an arrangement which where there were restrictions, but they applied to everybody in the geographical area. So there was discrimination between geographical areas, but there wasn't discrimination within a geographical area. Now that's the alert level system. Now, Brian, we've got the traffic light system. The traffic light system is very, very different. What it does is it makes differences within a geographical area between those who are not vaccinated and those who are vaccinated. So that, Brian, is the critical difference between the two systems. And that's where human rights is absolutely crucial to make sure that the unvaccinated are not treated in an unfair, inequitable way. It means there will be differences in treatment, but the differences must not be unfair, inequitable, disproportionate, unnecessary, and unlawful. So for me, Brian, that's the critical thing. And look, I'm reasonably confident, Brian, that we cracked it last year with the alert level system. With good faith on all sides, with us not only calling for our rights, but also, Brian, also being responsible, taking seriously our responsibilities to each other, I think that we can make this traffic light system work. But it's not going to be easy. But we did it last year. We can do it this year.
Chief Human Rights Commissioner with the New Zealand Human Rights Commission, Paul Hunt. Paul, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And all the very best. Have a great weekend. Cheers.
Thanks a lot, Brian. Thank you very much for today. Thank you.